We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Okay, welcome back. Bill Michaels' show continues here on a Friday. I'm Radio Joe. I don't know where Bill went. He'll be back here in just a minute. It's okay. Sam Schmitz, other side of the glass, producing as well today. We will get to another installment of Buy or Sell as well here in just a second. Don't forget the Green and Gold postgame show with Bill Michaels and Gary Ellerson will be underway immediately following the Packers and the Bears. So it'll be on many of these same network stations. And if you don't have it, please download the free radio.com app. You just search for Bill Michaels Sports, select it, favorite us, and you will be good to go. And then you can just tune on in right after the game is over to hopefully hear about a Packers win, but you never know. We've been talking about this a lot, that you do not want to let the Chicago Bears get back into the NFC North division race. There's no reason for the Packers to be losing this game. Now, with all that being said, my take on the game is I think this game will be closer than what people expect because I think you do have to give a lot of respect for this Chicago Bear defense. It is an excellent defense, and they've done a really good job kind of keeping things in check here. So for me, going into this game, the Packers just need to play their A game here. And if that front is going to stop the run, Aaron Rodgers has to be able to find his receivers and work their way down the field that way. Bill Michaels, I think, is back. Where were you?
I'm here.
Where were you?
I went to talk. I could hear it, hear the music. You couldn't hear me.
Huh.
I don't know. Weird thing. Hey, excuse me. Circumstance, technical, I don't know what the hell it was, but never, I could hear you, and I'm yelling, and never materialized. So, anyway, but good job. Excuse me for the last couple of minutes. Let's do some buy or sell. Should we get into that? Let's do that.
In the world of sports, a lot of people say a lot of things, but does it pass the big unit test? Let's play buy or sell.
Time now for buy or sell. Maybe it's just a Black Friday glitch. Who knew what it was? But nevertheless, back with some buy or sell radio. Joe Zanzola, what you got?
You know, I've been on this planet for 30 years, and I think this NFC East this year is the worst division I've ever seen in my lifetime. I know we've seen some other pathetic divisions where the division winner is a 7-9 football team, but I think this division is by far the worst. Buy or sell, the winner of the East will indeed be under 500 and maybe even 6-10.
You are correct. I will buy that because it is just bad. I don't even know how else to put it. This NFC East, when you, again, look at this weekend. just the teams that are playing. We already saw the – well, we saw, you know, Washington get a win. So they are the front runner at 4-7 at this point after as they won 41-16 over a bad Bears team. But look, the Eagles are going to get beat this weekend. They're going to lose again. They'll be 3-7-1 on the season, as the Seahawks will probably do them in. It's just it's awful. There's nothing good about it. Nobody has a team worth even being in the postseason, but yet one of these teams will get in. But, yeah, I could see a team getting in with 7 wins, probably the most. I don't have all the schedules sitting in front of me for the 4 teams in the East, but I got to imagine that there's not going to be a team that's going to get over 7 wins. So a sub-500 NFC East team will find themselves in the postseason, and then they'll find themselves with a very quick exit out of the postseason as well. There you have it. Yes.
Buy or sell?
If things continue to go downhill for the other 3 NFC North teams, there could be head coaching vacancies in all 3 of those markets.
You know, Matt Nagy, I think, is going to be gone. If the Bears continue their free fall, Matt Nagy's for sure going to be gone. The Bears have now lost 4 straight. You would assume it's going to be 5. I haven't looked at the rest of the Bears' schedule, but they don't play an easy schedule, and they've got the Packers yet again at the end of the season. That could be the swan song for Matt Nagy. Matt Patricia's gone. I don't think there's any doubt about that. The Minnesota Vikings just gave Zimmer an extension. Now, they had injuries and such, so maybe he gets a pass on that. But if, let's say, they end up at 6-10, they get 2 more wins or 3 more wins, 7-10, or 7-9, I should say. I can't imagine them firing him after just giving him the extension. I think they would have to go winless throughout for him to get canned. And even then, maybe Ziggy Wolf doesn't can him. But I know the Bears and the Lions are both going to be looking for head coaches at the end of the season. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Buy or sell?
So you're buying that or you're selling that?
I am buying that there could be head coaching vacancies with all 3 teams, but I'm buying that. But okay. The likelihood is going to be it'll be the Bears and the Lions for sure.
Okay. All right, next one. Do not expect the Green Bay Packers to run the table. There's going to be a loss somewhere on this schedule from here to the new year, basically.
I'm buying that. The loss most likely will come against the Tennessee Panthers. If you have to pick one of the matchups, they won't lose against Chicago. Philadelphia plays them tough, but I can't imagine them losing to Philadelphia at home the following week. I can't imagine them losing at Detroit. Detroit, as much as Detroit will get up for that game, and Ford Field has not necessarily been kind to the Packers. I can't imagine them losing to Detroit. Carolina puts up a fight, but Carolina's not going to win that contest. Maybe it's Tennessee, but they're not going to lose to Chicago at the end of the season. So I'm going to say the Packers do not run the table, but there's at least 1 more loss. I will buy that. Do not expect the Packers to run the table.
Buy or sell?
If the Green Bay Packers actually want to get to a Super Bowl this year, it hinges a lot on the production of the Smith brothers and the Smith brothers alone.
I am going to buy that. I know I shouldn't because usually it takes a team, but and maybe not even the Smith brothers, the brother, which is, if you want to call them the brothers, the Smith brother of Preston Smith. That side of the equation. I think Preston Smith, I don't know if it's just the use or the tenacity or I don't know. But in a year in which Preston Smith is going to be coming up on a contract, I would have expected more out of him. And you got to see that sack, that quarterback pressure group become more prevalent again, and you're not seeing it. So I'm going to buy that. I'm going to say yes. Defensively speaking, you're going to need Preston Smith to start carrying the weight and start to become more of an impact player than what he is right now. Absolutely.
Buy or sell?
If the Packers score at least 20 points on Sunday night against Chicago, they win.
Yes. Buying that in a heartbeat. Oh, yeah. The Bears are just offensively just not a good team. We can go on and on about what we've witnessed already so far this season out of the Chicago Bears. But when it comes to their offense, no, it's not going to happen. They don't even traditionally score over 20 points a game. I mean, when you think about it, they beat Detroit the opening weekend 27. They ended up getting the win 17-13 over against a bad Giants team. The only time they scored 25 or more was against the Atlanta Falcons when they won 30-26. But then they lost 19-11 against Indianapolis. They did score 20 against Tampa Bay in a weird game on that Thursday night. They haven't scored against Carolina. They only put up 16. Against the Rams, they put up 10. Against the Saints, they did score 23. I'm giving credit, but it was just a goofy game there. Tennessee, they only put up 17. And Minnesota, they only put up 13. They don't score over 20 points a game. If I had to guess, it's going to be like 27-10 or something like that. Packers are going to get a win. So I'm looking for the Packers to win. If they get to 20 or more, yeah, they're going to win this ball game because traditionally the Bears just don't put up 20 points.
Okay, well, that's it.
That's it. There you have it. That is the way we play it. It is buy or sell. Radio Joe brings it. I give it to you, and we kind of go from there. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends over there at Bud Light and Bud Light Seltzer. Unquestionably good, naturally carbonated, gluten-free, and includes no artificial flavors. Check them out. Go to BudLight.com. That is BudLight.com. When we come back, our own Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold Insider, are going to be joining us. That is next in the Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Shepherd brings it from inside the five. Ball's out. That ball came out. Colts say they have it. And they do.
I couldn't be a coach because I would have been telling Sherrod or whatever, I don't even care what his name is, go in the locker room, pack your clothes, get out, go find a bus, go home. That's the way I would have treated him. Because one, he shows no intelligence on the return, okay? Yeah, Shepherd, you let a ball hit on the goal line, okay? That was way too close to take that chance. Then he's 3 yards in the end zone and decides to run it out. I mean, what is wrong with this guy?
That was frustration left over from last weekend. Hopefully the Packers can cure a lot of those ills this weekend. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends over there at Pella Windows and Doors in Wisconsin. It's getting colder. Don't forget, call our friends at Pella or go to PellaWI.com. Set up that consultation. And at the consultation, if you decide to buy, they give you an additional 5% off. And that is on top of nobody down, no interest, and no payments for 2 years. Check out our friends at PellaWI.com where you can Pella now and pay later. Go to PellaWI.com. That is PellaWI.com. Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold Insider, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. So, Mike, we've got the Indy game pretty much out of our system, along with a lot of turkey and puddings and everything else that goes along with it. And now we get set for the Sunday night contest with leftovers. And you've got some concern regarding injuries as well now to deal with, right?
Yeah, and I heard you talking, too, this word that maybe the Packers are looking at Tavon Austin. Remember, he used to be a real speedy
right.
guy, versatile guy, kind of a Darryl Sproles guy back in the day with the St. Louis Rams, then St. Louis Rams. And so you got experience there because, you know, you got Tyler Irvin with these this rib injury, and doesn't look like he's coming back anytime soon. Yesterday at practice, individual drills, just lining up, catching some patches from coach to sort of get in the swing of things. And Fox 11 from Green Bay had the video rolling, and there's Marquez Valdes-Scantling kind of limping back to the line, and later he shows up on the injury report last night with an Achilles. Now, it's a little tweak, but that's something they're watching because, you know, you still got Davante Adams who missed yesterday's practice. And for a second week in a row, he's missed a Thursday practice in pads as he's rehabbing this ankle. Corey Linsley, who left the game against the Colts with this chronic back problem he's got. And so we asked Matt LaFleur last night about Davante and Corey Linsley for Sunday night.
I do think that those guys will be able to go. I know it's a process. We'll see where they're at by the end of the week, but we're hopeful that Corey can make it back. I think Tay, we're going to be cautious with him. And, you know, both those guys are such an important part of our team, and we need them available to be at our best. So we're hopeful that that'll happen.
Okay, hopefully they are back. But if they're not, you're still without Corey Linsley. You've got a center, a guy that's calling your blocking schemes. In addition to that, you got to make sure that you get everything right with Aaron Rodgers along the way, and they got to get on the same page.
And when Elgton Jenkins, and we know that he played center in college, and he's played all these positions, and he's been such a great pick, such a standout at left guard, when he jumped into center, instead of moving Lucas Patrick over, I thought, well, that's interesting. Now, they're doing that because they think that's the best offensive line that they can do to win the game against the Colts. It is not because they're looking into the future and trying guys out, honest. But that's one thing I've learned from Matt LaFleur. It's like, I don't think he's got a four-minute offense. Every play is designed for touchdowns, okay? Everything I'm not trying to delay the game or anything. I'm trying to score touchdowns. I'm trying to put the best players on the field whenever I can. I'm only in the now moment, so take it for that. However, we do know that Corey Linsley is in the last year of his contract, and we do know he's got this back situation. And somebody asked me the other day, do you think they'll re-sign him? And I started digging around about how often do the Packers re-sign the center? Listen to this. Since Aaron Rodgers has been up there since 2005, Scott Wells, Jeff Saturday, Eric Dietrich Smith, J.C. Treader, Corey Linsley, and also Lucas Patrick took some snaps last year, now Elgton Jenkins. In other words, it doesn't look good for Corey Linsley to get re-signed as a center. So I asked Aaron the other day, you know, in a roundabout way, because I think being center for the Green Bay Packers is the toughest center job in the National Football League with all that stuff that Rodgers does pre-snap. I asked Aaron, how much does it take to break in a new center?
Yeah, I mean, it does take a while. I think it's a process of understanding each other and really understanding the timing at the line of scrimmage and when to expect certain checks or adjustments, be on the same page with the point or the dummy point, and the multiple calls that we were expected to start with and finish with. It does take a while. We've had, you know, a lot of guys over the years. You know, Scotty obviously had a really good rapport with him. We had Saturday for a year. We had Dietrich Smith for a couple of years. You know, J.C. Treader before he got hurt. And then, you know, Corey's obviously done a really, really nice job for us. He's one of the fastest big guys at center that I've seen in a while. And I mean, we've kind of had guys like that. I mean, I think Scotty was really, really fast from center, being able to get up on backers really well. And obviously J.C. Treader is one of the most athletic NFL linemen. Also, you know, the PA president. You know, an Ivy League grad, which he makes me say every time I talk about him. But, you know, I think Corey's done a really, really nice job, but it's nice having really two guys that can back up center in Lucas and Elgton. And I thought Elgton stepped in and did a really nice job on Sunday.
Mike, you've got Danny Trevathan coming back. It looks like he's going to be back after whatever issue it is that
personal
issue. Akeem Hicks does not look like that. He's going to be coming back with that hamstring injury.
Right.
So, I mean, that's big if you don't have to face him, because he's one of the solid, you know, front guys. But it's still a very good Chicago Bears defense.
Yes, sir. Big Keem Hicks lining right up over your left guard. And, you know, I think you're right in your point about when you're talking about Sunday night, it's about the Packers offense controlling this ball against this defense. And so you ask Aaron Rodgers about guys like Trevathan and Kyle Fuller back there in the secondary. I don't think he even mentioned Khalil Mack when he was breaking down. But here's your Aaron Rodgers breaking down the Bears' defense this weekend.
Well, it's pass rush first. I mean, when you have a pass rush like that, you know you're going to be a formidable defense. And then when you compare it on the back end with guys who really are smart, intelligent, savvy players, you're going to create turnovers. There's a lot of vision to the football. You have a good mix of obviously a front that can stop the run and control line scrimmage with guys like Akeem. And then the linebackers are so talented. And Roquan, one of the fastest linebackers in the league for sure, and really I think becoming more savvy with the experience he's gotten. Danny Trevathan, one of the hardest hitters in the league, bar none. I don't know many guys who hit like that. he's got probably one of the hardest heads in the league. Very talented tackler, does it all, you know, at the point of attack. And then the back end, you know, really plays well together. Obviously, Kyle has been a top corner in the league for a while since we, you know, offer him a contract that was matched. He's, you know, extremely talented player. The rook on the other side of the young guy, Johnson's doing a really good job. as well. And then, you know, safeties, I think, have been very consistent. Veteran, you know, Gibson, and then, you know, obviously Eddie's been a premier player since he got in the league. So tie it all together and you get a great pass rush with guys in the back end and really know how to cover, you're going to be in a lot of games.
So, look, he doesn't mention Khalil Mack, but Khalil Mack, even though he doesn't have the statistics, I mean, he's still a guy you have to look out for, Mike, and he's still been pretty much a disruptor for that team.
Yeah, sure. Every time you come to the line of scrimmage and you start calling out audibles or your cadence. And then on the other side of the ball, you know, you lost that Colts. You were up 28-14 against the Colts. The third quarter, Frank Reich comes out and he goes with an up-tempo offense and a running game. And, well, first of all, I want to talk about their secondary, too. Packers secondary. Kevin King, lining up against like an Allen Robinson on Sunday night. Now, he missed five games with the quad and also an Achilles, but he played through the entire game last week against the Colts. So we talked to Jerry Gray, the defensive back coach, about how he thought Josh Jackson did over those 5 weeks when Kevin King was down.
To me, I thought Josh was playing pretty good. I just remember evaluating him when he was at Iowa. Had a lot of interceptions. I know they played a lot of cover four, a lot of zone, you know, and then, you know, a guy with great hands. Anytime you got that type of ball skill. And you know, sometimes when you get drafted into a system and the system kind of changes on you, it's now it's a more man-to-man type of deal, what we do here. So he had to adapt. And I thought that, you know, this year, even with the offseason not being the way we really wanted, I thought he came on pretty well and started understanding what we're trying to get him to do and let him do what's best for him. You know, he doesn't have to be a soft press guy. You know, he's more of a harder press guy, get his hands on. And, you know, you're going to get some touchy-feely type of fouls. But at the end of the day, I liked the way he competed when he was in there. You know, there were some little things that you know, I always talked to him about. You know, like his eyes somewhere. Sometimes he may peek at the quarterback, and then he may get a little bitty, you know, holy touchy. But other than that, I thought he did a really good job of going out. Like you said, we were 3-2 with Josh as a starter, and you know, you think that, hey, can a guy hold up? I thought he did a really good job of doing what we asked him to do.
And, now, and
you know, the last game that he played, we played probably about maybe 40-some snaps of man-to-man. So that gave us a chance to see that, you know, he can play man-to-man. He was doing a good job.
Yeah.
How do you stop the run, Mike, when you're in nickel or dime all the time?
Yeah, and why are you doing that when your opponent obviously is going to run the ball? And if Trubisky is the quarterback, it'll probably be more of a running game. And so we asked Jerry Montgomery, what's that process like with Mike Pettine?
A lot of time goes into it, and I just think at the end of the day, he makes a decision, and we go with it. And, you know, we kind of got caught in a situation there where we couldn't sub with the up-tempo, and we had to play through those downs, so it happens. Definitely feel like we could have been better that first drive of the second half, for sure.
So, I mean, granted, Kenny Clark's the guy that usually is in the middle of stuff in the run, but, I mean, this guy's being double-teamed, and when you're nickel and dime all the time, you're not giving him a lot of help, which is not putting him in a lot of one-on-one situations either.
Yeah, but we love this defensive line coach, Jerry Montgomery, because, I mean, he tells it to us straight, because he said that when the Colts were able to run right at Kenny Clark coming out of halftime, listen to Montgomery.
Yeah, I mean, you know, very good O-line, but I want to say the first series, the second half, was probably his worst series of the game, at least not the whole series, but about two or three snaps. But to that point, I mean, he was dominating the line of scrimmage, and, you know, he did most of the night. Like I said, there was about two to three snaps in that series where he wishes he could have those back.
Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Mike Clemens joining us, our Green and Gold insider, talking a lot about this defense, a lot about their decision-making. We'll get into all of this stuff and continue on. This portion of the program being brought to you by our good friends at Epoxy Flooring Done Right. Sean and the gang, do it right. They're great people out there. Go to epoxyflooringdoneright.com. That's epoxyflooringdoneright.com. Whether it's epoxy flooring, polyurea coating, homeowners, business owners for showrooms, or industrial, they can do it all, and they warranty it for life. Go to epoxyflooringdoneright.com. That is epoxyflooringdoneright.com. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I think the biggest thing, number one, we all know about the rivalry and how, you know, what it means to our organization and what it means, you know, in the NFL history, that this type of rivalry that we have in front of us. Obviously, since I've been here, we're in a position where we've won one out of three, and we know we need to change that.
Those are the words of Bears head coach Matt Nagy. They understand the rivalry. They just haven't been able to do much about it. Meanwhile, the Bears head coach, he's been trying to figure out all week about his quarterback situation. Joining us now, as always, as we continue on with Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold Insider. And it appears that Nick Foles, who is not practicing, not going to be available for this contest. So that goes back to Mitch Trubisky, the big-time trade draft day failure, if you want to call him that, Mike.
Yeah, and, you know, see, now this is where it gets weird. Matt Nagy and the game that he's playing. Because one minute he'll say that Nick Foles is out there working with the trainer. But, you know, it's like, okay, can you throw to your left? Great. But can you throw to your right? Because every time you plant, you know, do you have the pain? And you know what basically what you're talking about is pain with the glute. That's what happened.
That's what the quarterback position has been for him since pretty much he got there.
A pain in the glute.
Correct.
So, you know, I mean, Trubisky, they pick up Nick Foles after saying Trubisky is going to be our quarterback at the end of the season last year. They bring in Nick Foles. Trubisky, because of the shortened offseason with the COVID, wins in training camp because he knows the playbook better. After three games, they're playing the Falcons and getting their butts kicked. They bring in Foles. He brings them back, gets a dramatic win. Foles is in there for the next 4 or 5 weeks. They brought in Trubisky for like a run play once. He jacks up his shoulder, is out for 2 or 3 weeks, has to go to L.A. It's his throwing shoulder for a second opinion. I mean, this is just a comedy. And the bottom line is they don't have an offensive line. They've had to replace four guys except for Charles Leno out there at left tackle. And so they don't have any time for these guys. That's part of the problem. So you asked Matt Nagy last night, all right, Nick Foles with the sore hip, Mitch Trubisky's been taking all the snaps. Who's going to play quarterback Sunday night, Matt?
We haven't yet. It's in regards to where Nick's at. You know, he's still day to day. I think, you know, we've had 2 days in a row now of Mitch getting all the reps. So if it goes that direction, then we're going to be completely prepared for that. Again, he put together another good day. That part I really like. I know he's feeling good. So Nick's just got to keep continuing to see where he's at. I feel like he's slowly getting better right now. But he's obviously not at the point yet where he was able to practice. So that's where we're at right now.
Can I follow up on it?
Sure, absolutely.
Are there some circumstances where Nick Foles would start Sunday? Are you really waiting to see if he could practice?
Yeah, we'll still keep an eye on that and see where he's at. And then tomorrow, once we get through tomorrow, if we have a cleaner picture as to where that's at, then I think then we can move forward and say, hey, let's go ahead with Mitch.
And that's Matt Nagy, who gave up the play calling because, much like Mike McCarthy at one point in time, when he didn't see, was it Wims? Wims was the one that threw the punch in the haymaker. Yeah, so he said, no, I didn't see it. I was looking at the play sheet, and people went crazy saying, how do you not see your own player taking punches at other players and you can't see any of this?
Right.
And so that next week he said, okay, I'm going to give up the play calling, mainly for the fact that the play calling hasn't been that good anyway. So now it's what, Bill Lazor is the guy?
Bill Lazor, who, you know, not a very distinguished career with the Dolphins and then certainly not those 2 or 3 years with the Bengals as a quarterback coach and then interim offensive coordinator. Now he's the one working every day with Mitch Trubisky, and so, you know, Mitch is a good kid. I mean, the fact is sometimes the game is just over his head. But Bill Lazor, offensive coordinator, asked last night, how has Mitch handled this return to being the number one quarterback this week?
I think Mitch has been very serious, very determined. I will say, I thought he started training camp the same way.
Okay.
Okay. There you go.
Then the next question would be, you know, Nick Foles, they went to a downfield offense. You know, they're lighting it up. You could see Allen Robinson and the rest of that receiving core excited because now they got a guy who can deliver downfield passes. and they got things going like that. Whereas, you know, with Mitchell Trubisky, it's RPO and it's option, and, you know, it looks more like a kind of a college football game. So you ask Bill Lazor, offensive coordinator, and now your play caller, on the game change, how you got to change the game plan from, you know, Foles downfield to Mitch Trubisky and RPOs. Is it different?
You know, those changes can be made pretty seamlessly in my mind. With players at every position, as you change, I mean, the same kind of things happen with the offensive line. You know, as we've had to change some linemen here recently, we've had to make some decisions maybe on, okay, consider who's in there now based on how much they've played and what they've done, what are the best things to do with them. So I think we make those decisions at each position. It certainly gets highlighted by the quarterback because he's going to make the decisions on where the ball goes in the passing game. So I'm not going to deny that it becomes a bigger deal with the if the quarterback changes. But I don't worry about the issue I think you're asking about as far as changing what we're doing. I think the system is built in a way that you know, we grab what we think works that week.
Okay.
I just want to make sure none of our listeners dozed off driving off the road there to that guy.
Yeah, okay. You know, the one guy we're not talking about at all who's had a really good season for them is Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham's been kind of that red zone guy. He's moved the sticks for them. He's doing what we thought he would do in Green Bay.
And Jimmy Graham is this guy, when he got into Green Bay, you know, we ask of players, it's pretty much assumed, it's actually they can be fined if they don't cooperate, for your average player that's a starter, that he should make himself available in the locker room once a week, either after the game or sometime during the weekdays. And, of course, this year is a completely different situation. But when Jimmy Graham got to Green Bay, he'd already been that veteran from New Orleans and then played with the Seahawks, he talked when he first arrived, and then he didn't talk for like another 4 or 5 months. And, you know, maybe if he talked to us 3 times a year, like late on a Friday, it was a big deal. So we understand that Jimmy doesn't talk much for whatever reason, and we talked about that when he was here. But, yeah, they're finding him open. He's also been healthier. I mean, I'll never forget last year, Matt LaFleur's first season head coach training camp looked like, all right, Graham is healthy, and maybe this is the year things kick in, and he's running a crossing route on the practice field during training camp, and the ball came out of Rodgers' hands, just a simple ball over the middle. Whatever, he caught it in a weird way, and he totally jacked up his ring finger on his right hand. I mean, it was dangling, and he went running right into the Hudson Center, you know, to the first aid. It's like the guy just had a lot of bad luck injury-wise during his time in Green Bay. But now he's catching balls all over the field. Now, listen, I remember I was driving back listening to your show when you broke that the Bears were making this change at play caller to Bill Lazor, right? You talked mm-hmm. about that on your show. Okay, so the next day they had press conferences, and it was like, this is less than 48 hours before their last game, their next game. And this is Jimmy Graham, the first question he got in one of his rare press conferences just before the game.
Hey, Jimmy, how you doing?
I'm doing good. What's up?
Good. Just wanted to know your reaction to some of the other offensive players' reactions about your coach giving up play calling duties and what kind of message that sends to the team, and just your overall thoughts on that.
I didn't know he's doing it. Yeah. I had no idea he's doing it. Yeah. I don't really watch the news. That's interesting. Yeah. I got no comment on that. I didn't know. I'll have a better answer for you later. I have no idea. I know.
Well, there you go. That's a guy that's caught completely off guard and didn't want to react to it and didn't want to say anything. So
how do you do that?
That's the Chicago Bears.
Everybody knows about you. Wonder why there's problems with that organization. Oh yep. My God! At least the PR guy, before you put him out in front of the media, don't you just kind of review? Here's probably the top 5 things that are trending right now that you might get a question about.
Mm-hmm. Right?
I didn't know. He was the last to know, Bill.
Well, you know what? That's why they're just a step above the Lions. And the Lions should be banned from ever playing again on Thanksgiving until they at least get the 9 wins in the season prior. So that's just my take on it.
A lot of people were saying that after the game yesterday. So We know how much Aaron Rodgers talked about that Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham's a smart guy. My God, he's a pilot. He's a helicopter pilot. I think he's also got a jet pilot's thing with all that charity work he does, flying, transplanting organs around the country in the off season, et cetera. So we asked Devontae Adams, what's the deal with Jimmy Graham?
Jimmy's one of my best friends at this point. I mean, I haven't known Jimmy for, I mean, it's been a fraction of my life, but he's a guy that once he comes into your life and you truly know him. I like to think of Jimmy as a pit bull. Jimmy's like a pit bull because everybody's got this perception of how the guy is, a little rough, tough exterior, not the most approachable maybe, you know, just by not knowing too much about him. But and I own a pit bull, so this will let you know that, you know, how I feel about them. But once you get to know them, they're one of the most loyal creatures in the world, will do anything for you. And, you know, they'll be, like I said, they'll be there for you through thick and thin. So that's kind of the way I think of Jimmy. It's somebody who you may not know as much about him. You look how big and tough and rough he is and everything he's done in the league. And it's kind of intimidating on the outside maybe. But once you get to know him and you know that he's one of the most down people that I've ever met. So I love Jimmy. We miss him over here for sure. And we obviously know what he's done over the course of his career. And, you know, he's made a lot of money, made a lot of plays, and gained a lot of respect from a bunch of players too. So, yeah, that's how I feel about Jimmy.
Let's do this. We'll step away and take a quick break. A bit of breaking news as of right now. The game between the Steelers and the Ravens has now been pushed back even further. It will be Tuesday. Tuesday, according to Adam Schefter, that the NFL will push that game back. Remember, Lamar Jackson is not going to be participating in that game because of COVID as well. But COVID has hit the Ravens organization, so they're going to push that game back until Tuesday. So you got that contest being pushed back. So you got a Monday night contest and then a Tuesday night contest as well. Let's step away. We got a few more minutes with Mike Clemens when we come back. Hang in there. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
On tape, I think it's going to be our biggest challenge yet. Khalil Mack is a game wrecker. You better know where he's at on every snap. You got Hicks inside. You got Robert Quinn, Nichols, Urban. I mean, they've got so many players on that defensive line. The linebackers, Trevathan and Roquan Smith are as good as they get.
Those are the words of Matt LaFleur, head coach of your Green Bay Packers, joining us for a few more minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Our good buddy Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold insider. And Thanksgiving come and gone. You got that off day a little bit, and you're back at it because you got a quick turnaround. You got a Sunday night contest, Mike, and it's rivalry week. Make no mistake about it.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the Packers, if they win this game, it would be the 100th victory in the series. It's the oldest rivalry between these two teams. It's interesting. Matt Nagy has been talking a lot about, you know, the rivalry, because I think it's important to the McCaskies. And Matt LaFleur hasn't talked about the rivalry at all. I mean, he's just talking to this team about, it's another week. This is this week's opponent. No opponent is different than any other opponent. Let's just focus on this week. And I also asked Matt LaFleur yesterday about, and then, you know, that's the way LaFleur plays it with Green Bay. You know, you saw that Lions game. You see the struggles that they've got, the fumbles. They're fumbling the game away. And Matt Patricia's, you know, horrible. I think he's 12-25-1 in Detroit and probably going to get replaced. But I asked Matt LaFleur, growing up in Mount Pleasant, Michigan, as a kid, what was it like for him on Thanksgiving Day in football?
Coach, I'm going to guess when you get home tonight, if there's time, you'll play some catch with your kids. When you were, when it was Thanksgiving in Mount Pleasant, how much was football part of your Thanksgiving? Was it, you know, Barry Sanders and Rodney Peete on the TV, or, you know, did you get to play quarterback at a touch football game in the neighborhood?
Yeah, so I think a lot of our Thanksgivings, I would say, were spent at my grandparents' house in Kalamazoo. I just remember always being outside playing football and, you know, playing catch, and football was always on in our household every Thanksgiving. And, you know, you mentioned Barry Sanders. That was always a treat for whether you were a Lions fan or not. He was one of those guys that you'll never forget just how he played the game, and just the excitement that he brought to the game you know, every Thanksgiving Day. So those are memories I'll always cherish. And just one that when I was thinking about this today, just thinking about being a kid at, you know, a young kid watching football and watching the NFL. And, you know, it really makes you appreciate where you are today. I'm speaking for myself, just being in this position. And it just, it's kind of fun to sit here and reflect on those moments.
For 28 years, the Packers have had Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, back-to-back Hall of Famers, a quarterback. The Bears have gone through 32 starters in that same period. We asked Aaron Rodgers about that legacy in Green Bay.
It's been fun to carry on the tradition in Green Bay of the great players that played quarterback. Obviously following a legend and Brett, getting to know really well the late Bart Starr. A lot of guys in between that who were really good players. I've gotten to know Magic a little bit over the years. He's always been really supportive. Len Dickey, obviously he had a really nice run there for a while. It's a tough position to draft, to scout, and then you never know exactly what you're going to get from a leadership standpoint. You know, I've always said from the time I was drafted, the things I feel like separated me from other players is the things you can't really measure. You know, it's a competitive drive. It's dealing with adversity. It's presence, moxie, toughness. You don't have analytics for those things. You know, think you got the perfect guy. You just never quite know how that person's going to deal with adversity, how they're going to deal with injuries, how they're going to deal with their teammates, how they're going to deal with off the field adversity, in the locker room adversity, in the meeting room adversity, confidence-wise. There's a lot that goes into playing this position, and you know, I'm fortunate to be a part of a great group playing right now. I think it's a great time for the NFL with a lot of, you know, older guys. Put myself in that, you know, soon to be over 37 category, just played against Phillip. Obviously having a good year, and Ben, you know, they're undefeated, Tom and Drew, and then a great young group of guys, you know, led by the back-to-back MVPs with Lamar and Pat. You know, I think it's a really good time for quarterbacks right now, but at the same time, it's tough to find that guy. When you get him, you got to hold on to him.
Good stuff, Mike. Appreciate it. Time for us to go. Have a good one. See you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.